In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're on the threshold of Great Lent. We just heard the parable of the prodigal son. Two more Sundays, and then we begin Great Lent. What is the purpose of Great Lent? Really, the purpose of Great Lent should be our purpose every day of our life. But especially in this season, to be able to change the way we think, and in changing the way we think, change the way we act. To have more intensity, to have more of a realistic review about ourselves, and to know what it is that's wrong with us. Only by divine revelation can you find that out. But if you do not make the effort, if you do not have the disposition that there is something wrong with you, even divine revelation will not reveal it to you. Because you must have a coming to yourself that is spoken of in this parable. This is the most important part of the parable. This parable could be spoken of for a week and we would not plumb its depths. So there are parts of it that are just amazing in their theological depth and richness. But they cannot be talked about in a short homily. It takes much longer. So I chose today to focus on what it is that I know that each one of us needs. And the reason I know it is because I'm a human being and I have feet of clay. And so I know that you go through the same things I go through. The weakness of will and the turbulence in your soul, and the darkness and the ignorance and all the rest. I know a little bit about myself and you know a little bit about yourself. But we must know much more if we are to go to our Father. So this prodigal son, he goes, takes his father's inheritance, and he goes and wastes it in a far land. The far land is designating alienation from God. It is actually designating also, if we want to be theological and current now, according to the theological currents of the day and that have been for the past few hundred years. This far country is our sinful condition alienating us from God. Not God judging us because of our sins, but our sins darkening our soul. The term the fathers use is the nous, that is the higher part of the soul that communicates with God, that is immersed in holiness. Not the part that reasons and is rational, you know, being able to do problem solving, but the part that can be with God. Not that the nous is irrational, it is super rational. This nous, our mind, is darkened by sin. This is the problem of sin, brothers and sisters. With this darkness, we don't see God. And we don't have the peace that God wants us to have. This is the far country. To be far from God because of our sins. Not because God judges us because of our sins. But because our sins obscure our eyes. Stop up our ears. Make us incapable of seeing God as He is. Feeling Him as He is. This is the tragedy of the human condition. Being described in a short sentence. So don't think that because it's described that he goes and wastes his living with harlots, this does not apply to you. It is not about harlots that this parable is about. It is about alienation from God because of our condition that needs to be fixed. And so this man, is far away from God because of his sins. Now his sins, of course, here are described as extreme things. Drinking and bawdiness and harlotry and all the things that are fleshly. But any sins alienate us from God. The sin that alienates us most from God is pride. And so, he is alienated from God, far away from God. And he goes to a citizen of that country and asks for a work because he's hungry. And he feeds swine. There's all kinds of metaphor involved in the feeding of the swine. But let us just focus that he wanted to eat the husks that the swine were eating, and he was still hungry. Sin will never, ever fill you up. It will never, ever satisfy you. Whether you know about your sin or not, whether your sin is with harlots or whether it's just that you gossip or that you're lazy or that you don't pray very much or that you don't have a heart for people or whatever it is, it dissipates you. It desiccates you. And it makes you far away from God. What did the young man do? After some time in this condition, perhaps it was a month, perhaps it was a year or two or three. For some, it is a short period of time in their life. For others, it can be an entire lifetime. But he did something that is critical for his salvation and is critical for your salvation. He came to himself. Those are blessed words. He came to himself. What that means is that he recognized that there was something really wrong with him that he couldn't fix. And that only God could fix. He didn't pretend. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't lie to himself. He said, I am really a messed up person. And I can't fix myself. And I can't live like this anymore. That's what we must do. That's, in microcosm, the purpose of Great Lent. But every day should be like that. Now, in our modern age, this idea of feeling our sinfulness is very looked down upon. Because it has shades of having poor self-esteem and other such things. But for a true Christian, it's just recognizing reality. It's no use to jump in a mud puddle and then pretend you're not dirty. We are dirty. There are things wrong with us. We have to cultivate this coming to ourselves every single day. Perhaps in your recent life, you've come to some revelation about yourself that you didn't know before. Perhaps you didn't realize that you were a gossip, or that you were so lazy, or that you had such bitterness against such and such a person. Glory be to God for it. But what other things do you not know about yourself? We must cultivate this coming to ourselves every single day. But then, important, if you come to yourself and do nothing, what good is that? I need help, and then you don't seek help? The man who comes to himself in the context of this parable realizes there is nothing more important than God, and that he will do everything he can to reach God, even though he is unworthy. He feels deeply his unworthiness, but paradoxically, something the world cannot understand. In the midst of the feeling of this deep feeling of his unworthiness, he has deep confidence that the Father will accept him. So So coupled with coming to Himself, the Gospel says that the Son said, I will arise and I will go to my Father. So you have to get up and you have to go to your Father. This is a process that should be repeated daily, hourly. Coming to yourself and then doing something about it. Arising, going to your Father. Now the Son had the right attitude when He went to His Father. He didn't expect to be put back in the Father's house. He just wanted to be put with the farm hands. Just so that He could have bread to eat, a roof over His head, a place to work. That's all He wanted. And that's all He felt He was worthy of. He knew His Father would give Him this. But actually, our Father will give us much more besides, as the parable shows. But we must have this attitude that there's something wrong with us. Now, if you're proud and you also have this attitude, it expresses itself in neuroses and anxieties and just odd feelings about yourself and lack of confidence and all kinds of other stuff like that that's just rampant in our society and that's making drug companies billions of dollars. But if you are humble and you recognize that you are what you are, then you'll be productive. Then in a healthy way, you will get up and you will go to your Father. I'm convinced many people that are very afflicted with all kinds of mental disorders in this world, they're aware that there's stuff wrong with them. They're just too proud to come to God with their problems. Or too proud to fully admit what's wrong. You have to just lay it all out. Before God, you have to say, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to be called your son. And if you have that feeling, not a manufactured feeling, not some emotional feeling, but deep in your soul, knowing that you're unworthy, God will meet you when you repent. Because the process of repentance is impossible for us to accomplish without God. We must begin it. But while the Father is a long way off, He will come to us. And He will assist us. Now the process is not over just because the Father came to His Son and embraced Him and had the feast. Because, as we know, when you do a lot of bad things, there's a lot of bad habits. And you might reject those things, but the habits are still there. And habits are very, very difficult to get rid of. The habit of pride, the habit of laziness, the habit of seeking entertainments that are ridiculous and foolish, the habit of gossip. All these habits are difficult to break, even if we want to break them. But our Father will help us. As long as we always recognize who we are and how much we need Him. So this parable is being given before Great Lent to assist us in this process. To show us that we must be like this Son. We're already like Him in our sins. We must be like Him in coming to ourself, in recognizing how much we need God, and then rise and go to Him. This parable is also given to show us some things that stand in the way of repentance. And the thing that stands the most in the way of repentance is pride and judgment. And we have had two Sundays now in a row that we've spoken of pride and judgment. The prodigal is much like the publican, isn't he? A man who recognizes himself, who looks in a mirror and doesn't pretend that he's any different than what he sees, who knows he's a sinner and knows he's unworthy. And isn't the elder son just like the Pharisee who judged the publican? The elder son talks to his father saying, I've done this and I've done that and you haven't appreciated me. The elder son did serve his father. The Pharisee was righteous. But there was no warmth. There was no understanding of themselves. And so their righteousness was a dead righteousness. And with that dead righteousness came pride and then judgment. The Pharisee judged the publican, and the elder son judged his brother. If you can't do anything else in your life, be humble and admit who you are and seek after God. God will come to you. Don't be so concerned about how competent you are at becoming righteous. There might be sins that afflict you the rest of your life that you really can't get rid of. As long as you try to get rid of them, God will forgive you. But if you're not even aware of these sins, how can you ask God to forgive you? May God help us to have this mind of the prodigal and of the publican. This mind that comes to itself. This mind that knows what's wrong with us. And then has the courage and the desire to get up and to go to our Father, and He will surely receive us. Amen.